Thank you, Lord. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Yes, yes. And if you would, just lift those hands. If you just listen to that last verse, it said, the author of salvation. Wow. He that was and is to come. The author and the finisher of our faith, the originator and perfecter. Yes. If God didn't write the salvation plan, we would still be lost. Thank you, Lord, that you are the author of salvation. We couldn't write our own story, and if we did, and when we tried, we messed it up. But thank you, God, that you are the author of our salvation. You're great and greatly to be praised. Now, Lord, speak to us through your word. Thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. It illuminates the way, Lord, in a fallen, dark, dying, decaying world. Your word illuminates the way. Speak to us now, Lord. We open our hearts, open our minds to receive from you, and we thank you and we bless you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Family, if you would, open your Bibles to Ephesians as we continue on our journey of putting on the whole armor of God. Now read a couple of verses. Did I say Ephesians 6 and 10? Amen. Ephesians 6 and 10. I'll read 10, 11, and 16. When you're there, say amen. Amen. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Make sure if you don't have it already, underline the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the schemes of the devil. Verse 16, above all. Underline above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith you may be able to quench all, underline all the fiery darts of the wicked. Amen. So we've parked here. We've talked about the having our loins girded about with truth and the breastplate of righteousness. And we parked here at above all, taking the shield of faith. Because if God says of all our spiritual armor, it is just something to be said about faith being above all. Without our faith, without our assurance in God, then the other ones don't matter. The word actually says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So here we are at above all. And then I thought about it, said the shield of faith. And a shield, it's an offensive and a defensive weapon. And we do have some military people in here. I know Clarence's Navy. And then, Brother HG, you were in what branch?
Army.
And then I just found out at our couples meeting that Marina was Air Force JAG. Whoa. Wait, we got some brass in here. But every good soldier knows that it's okay, and you will not run like a coward. It's better to go out on your shield. You go out on your shield. And spiritual warfare is called the shield of faith. We need to go out on the shield of faith. Go out on your shield. When times get tough, difficult, trials, tribulation, go out on your shield. What's your shield? It's the shield of faith. HG also mentioned that he was military police. Sometimes your shield identifies you. It's a badge. They call it a shield. And it has your badge number. It identifies you. Your shield identifies you. So the shield that you're wearing now, does it say shield of faith or shield of fear? Above all, we have to take the shield of faith, the assurance that God is who he says he is. His plan for our life is the best plan that there is. It's more than what we could ever do for ourselves. And so I have to get out of the way so that God's plan can dominate my life. And I need the shield of faith to do that. So then we have to ask ourselves, would there be enough, if we were being tried for being men and women of faith, would there be enough evidence to convict us of men and women of faith? And they would just do little things. How about our language? If they followed us for a day, they just listen to our conversation, our language, how we talk to our spouses, how we talk to our kids, how we talk to our coworkers, how we talk to each other. Youth, how we talk to each other at school, some of the language that goes on at school. Would your shield, would your badge identify you as a man or woman of faith? Is there enough evidence? One thing that any good soldier knows, you have to earn it. You have to earn your shield. You can't borrow your grandma's. Well, my grandma went to church and she was, and my grandpa was a pastor, and no, that's their shield. You can't borrow somebody's shield because you'll go to jail for impersonating an officer. You will. You better not pick up a badge and talk about that's mine and it's not yours. We got to earn our shields. I can't live off my mom, my dad's, my pastors. You can't even say your pastors. But you know, my pastor, you can't use my shield. I can't use your shield. And if my heart's not right, my shield might not even be real. So family, we have to earn our own shield of faith. Said above all, you got to have the shield of faith so you can withstand the fiery darts, because the darts are coming. Didn't say you'd stop or prevent them, but you'll be able to stand against them. But you have to earn your shield. And so it took me to the book of James. Let's go to the book of James. And obviously, family, you know, this is going to be part one, two, three. We won't. A message turns into a series all the time. So we're still on the series that we started in January, the new year. Building the kingdom of God through spiritual warfare. And we're still on the shield of faith. James 1. James could, his book, entire book could be classified as the book of faith. If you're there, James 1 and 1, say amen. Amen. James, as a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various tests. Verse 3, knowing this, that the testing of your faith has to be tested. Faith that can't be tested is faith that can't be trusted. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, or produces patience. He said, consider, he said, count it. So think about it. Just like Paul, and when we studied Paul when he was going through his trials in Acts chapter 26, he said, King Agrippa, I think myself happy. I'm on trial, but I consider myself blessed. Here's James saying the same thing. He said, consider it all joy. Count, that word is consider. Think that it's joy. Think about being glad when you fall into various trials, because it's testing your faith. There's no way God can know what you're doing, or you can know what God's doing, unless he tests you. That's the only way we find out what we're made of. I know Moody's a school teacher. Moody, how often you give a test? How often do you give a test to your students?
Once a week.
Because you got to know what they're learning. I mean, it's biblical. God is saying, I can't try your faith. I can't test your faith unless I take you through a test, Brother Charles. That's the only way I can do it. I mean, it's not a popular message, amen?
Amen.
It's not. But that's the only one. And that's the only way that God can test us. And so here we are as we go through our different tests. And Family, as I was going through this, God was really ministering to my heart because we have different trials that we're tested in. And then here we are in America, and they're trying to tell us that, you know, God is love and you have to be tolerant of everything that goes on. But that's not true. That's not true. Jesus was radical. Jesus was radical. He wasn't just trying to get along. He was not trying to get along with folks. He was stirring it up. As the young folks say, Jesus, he came into the temple, he came into the church, and he turned it up. He turned over the table, the money changers. He talked about people's family. He forgave sins. And so here we're going to be tested, and we just got to understand the mindset of God that it's okay to be a little radical. We don't have to be disrespectful, but we have to stand on the truth. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Turn with me to the book of James. No, I'm sorry. The book of John. Look at John chapter 8. Okay, so the testing of our faith, the trials test our faith. So we have a biblical understanding. John 8, and let's start at 1, 8 and 1, Brother Ivy. And I'll be bouncing around, so stay with me, Brother Ivy. You already know how we do it. So, church, as God is growing us up, we have to have a different mindset. That I just can't tolerate sin and foolishness just to get along. So we don't want to cause any waves. Jesus said, no, that's not Jesus' way at all. Like I said, he was radical. Look at, that's 8 and 1. Let's start at 8 and 1. When Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came into the temple. So he's coming to church. Amen? Early he's coming to church. He was on time. That's a whole other message, folks. We're not going to go there right now. But he was early in the morning. He came into the temple. That's a message within the message, but we're going to talk about that later. And it says, and all the people came unto him. So they were already there. The people were there. He got there early, and the people were there as well. And he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set him, in their midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Isn't that something? They're trying to make a mockery of church. Coming to church for the wrong reasons. And you know, radical Jesus is not going to go for that. And then, you know, we can't be surprised at how the media portrays the pastor or the church. We're all crazy. We're all fanatics. And it just, they always tried to make a mockery. The enemy has always tried to make a mockery of the church. That's why you have to have the mindset to have the shield of faith. So when people are trying to get you to tolerate sin and foolishness, you take a stand on the truth. So here's Jesus being radical in church. Verse 5. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what do you say? This they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. And you know, you have scholars that speculate that Jesus wrote their names and all their sins. Amen? So when they continued asking him, he lifted up and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him cast a stone at her. That's radical. Whichever one of you have not committed sin. So church, we understand when we're out talking to the world, we're radical with that. I understand I got my sins. I have my issues. I understand that. But the word says that you confess and forsake. Then you should find mercy. And then Jesus is going to tell her, go and sin no more. He didn't say, well, let's tolerate it because God is love. Jesus loves everybody. He didn't say that. He said, go and sin no more. Who condemns you? Neither do I. Go and sin no more. Verse 8. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it began, and being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one. beginning at the eldest, even to the last. And he should have known better. The oldest one should have known better. And Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. And Jesus lifted up himself and said, and when Jesus lifted up himself and said none but and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are your accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Amen. Jesus said he didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. But he's not dealing with sin, foolishness, or this tolerance stuff. He was radical. He was radical. That's why we need the shield of faith, because we have to understand we got to have the same mindset of Jesus. We have to believe that the truth is the truth. And let's stay in chapter 8 and let's go to verses 8 and 42. Same situation. You got the religious folk. They're getting into this heated conversation. Jesus is radical. And he starts talking about their family, their father. And you know those fighting words. You talk about somebody's mama, you ready to fight. He's radical. Verse 42, and Jesus said of them, if God were your father, you would have loved me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself. But he sent me. Verse 43, why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Verse 44, now it's time to fight. You are of your father, the devil. Tell that to your coworker next time when they start talking this way out stuff. Say, you know what? You're of your father, the devil. You asking for a fight. Don't come telling me that Jesus loved everybody and he had his arms around them and kumbaya. We're not doing that. He was radical. He's forgiven sins. He's telling, go and sin no more. And he's talking about them. You're of your father, the devil. Look what he says about their father. Now, and don't let nobody talk about your family, but he's talking about the family, right? You're of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He, your daddy was a murderer from the beginning. Wow. And he abode not in the truth. Ain't no truth in him, because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. That's your daddy. Didn't sound like he tolerating foolishness. It don't seem like he's saying we need to love everybody and accept everybody. No, we're gonna go and sin no more. So James said, when you get into these different trials, it's testing your faith. Do you really believe what we're reading right here? No, we don't tolerate everything. We do not tolerate sin. We don't condemn, but we don't tolerate sin. Go and sin no more. The truth is the truth is the truth. Verse 45, and because I tell you the truth, underline truth, you believe me not. The truth is tough. Nobody really wants to hear the truth. But Jesus said he's the way, the truth, and the life. Verse 46, which of you convinces me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. And you're not even of God. And your daddy's a murderer and he's a liar and the truth is not in him. And then Jesus even gets more radical. Look at verse 51. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never see death. Whoa, 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 whoa. Verse 52. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that you have a devil, that you a demon. They call Jesus a demon. We know that you a demon. Abraham is dead and the prophets. And you say, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never taste of death. Verse 53. Listen to what they're saying. This is a radical conversation. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? The prophets are dead. Whom makest thou thyself? Jesus just told him he was God. That's a radical conversation. He talked about their daddy and he told him, I'm God. Verse 54, Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom you say he is your God. Verse 55, yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like you. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Ho, ho. Then said the Jews unto him, Man, you're only 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Verse 58, Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, most assuredly, assuredly, I say unto you, before Abraham was, and they knew, he made it plain. Don't let any other religion say, well, Jesus, he was a good man, he was a prophet, he never claimed to be God. He told them right here, before Abraham was, I am. What does that mean? Because in Exodus 3:13, when God told Moses, go talk to the people, he said, well, the people going to ask, who sent me? He said, you tell them I am that I am. Tell them I am have sent you unto them. And then here's Jesus saying, verily, verily, most assuredly, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. And then to show that they knew what he was talking about, verse 59, then they took up stones to cast at him. Why? Because if anybody claimed to be God, that's blasphemy, and you got stoned to death. But Jesus didn't come to get stoned to death. He came to die for our sins on the cross. So he just walked right through them. They couldn't touch him because it wasn't his time. It's a radical conversation right here. Take a look with me at Matthew. We'll pause here until next week. But take a look at Matthew. I need to make it even more clear. Matthew 10. We need the shield of faith. Because the world is trying to tell us everything's okay. You guys, we love everybody. Why are you guys rocking the boat? Because Jesus rocked the boat. Why are you talking? Why are you causing discord? Because Jesus caused discord. No, Jesus said love everybody. No, well, let's look at what he said in Matthew 10. Look at Matthew 10 and 34. If you're there, say amen. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. He said, I came to cause war, and that's spiritual war. That's why we've been studying spiritual warfare. Because Jesus, he's not dealing with the fleshly. He's dealing with the spiritual warfare. He's way up there. He said, I ain't come to cause peace. I came to cause war. Oh, man, we got to love every man. You got to stop talking like that, man. You know, man, people are offended. Good. Because Jesus offended people all the time. He was not disrespectful. He just spoke the truth. And the truth is never comfortable. Family, that's why we need the shield of faith. Because you got to know that what you're speaking, you believe it. Otherwise, you won't speak it. Because it's going to be a little hot. It's going to get a little heated. And you're going to offend some. And just like we learned with Paul, some believed and some didn't. And you got to know, God, I'm walking the way you called me to walk. I'm saying what you told me to say. And I got to deal with the heat because, God, you're with me. And greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. God, I am with you. So look what he says in verse 35. I come to set a man at variance or against his father and his daughter and his mother and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Verse 36. And a man's foes shall be those of his own house. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. So what is Jesus saying? Look, I have to have first place in your life. And those of us, I love my kids. I love my mom. I love my dad. I love my family. But I tell you, Jesus has to have first place. If it comes down to it and you serving God and you serving your family, Jesus said, you're not worthy enough to follow me. Go serve your family. I'll see you later. Because if they're doing the wrong thing, I'm calling you to live right. You got to serve me. I don't care what your mom or your daddy's doing. You got to serve me. That's radical. Well, the family needs to get the blood thicker than water. We need, no, the blood of Christ is what saved you. It's radical. It's radical. And then I recognize that as much as I love my mom and dad and my kids, but God gave them to me. God created them for me. So since God created, I thank God for them because he created them. So it's not going against God to bless God for your family who he gave to you anyway. And it goes right in line with the first two commandments. The most important two commandments when they ask Jesus. Love God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. And then love your neighbor as yourself. In that order. God comes first. It's radical. It's radical faith. Do you believe this? Whoa. You got to have a biblical understanding of what Jesus was. I'm not going to stand for sin. I'm going to go and sin no more. I'm not just going to say it's okay. Look at verse 38. He said, he that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. It's got to pick up your cross. And what is a cross? It means that you got to, it's almost a paradox. You got to pick up your cross, and your cross being symbolic of denying yourself. So don't pick up yourself, pick up your cross, but you got to deny yourself. That's the only way. So God's plan is the dominant plan in your life. It takes preeminence over your plan. That's what it means to pick up his cross. And he says, verse 39, he that findeth his life shall lose it. So if you're trying to do your own thing, you're going to lose what God has for you. And if you're doing what God has for you, then you're not going to worry about the other stuff that you, quote unquote, would miss out on. But if you're doing your own thing, you'll never find what God has for you. Do you have enough faith to say, God, I believe that? I got to lose my life in you. I have to be so consumed with you that what you have for me is the best that could possibly be for me. Or either I have to do my own thing, I trust myself, God, more than you. You got to go out on your shield of faith. And that's where we got to stop this week. And we'll pick it up next week. And let us pray quickly. Oh, Lord, what a radical Jesus. You were so radical. The more and more I study your word, I see how you didn't tolerate sin. You didn't tolerate lies. You didn't tolerate foolishness, Lord. But you loved us so much that while we were yet sinners, you died for us. Because the word says you didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world through you might be saved. You told the woman caught in sin. You said, I don't condemn you, but you got to go and sin no more. Cut it out. I'm not going to tolerate it. You don't get a pass. I'm just saying I'm not condemning you, but you got to go and sin no more. It's our message. We're not tolerant. We're radical. Jesus said he didn't come to bring peace but a sword. Spiritual warfare is what we're in the midst of. That's why above all we need the shield of faith. We have to know what we believe. Because when we share the truth, it's going to be unpopular. It's going to be uncomfortable. We're going to look at like we're crazy. But that's okay. That's why we need the shield of faith above all. Because without the assurance that God is who he said he is, and Jesus Christ is his son, who died for our sins, rose again on that third day, is preparing a place for us in heaven. Without that assurance, God, we will waver and we will get caught up and we will be afraid to speak your truth. So I pray right now, Lord, might be someone who say, Pastor, my first step of faith is to accept Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. I want to pray for you. Jesus said he's the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by him. Romans 10:13, Jesus said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Confessing with your mouth and believe in your heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead. Romans 10:9-10. For with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, and with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. So maybe that's you, Pastor. I've never confessed that. That's you. Elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you right now. Or maybe you're saying, Pastor, I just need to rededicate my life. I've just been slipping and sliding along, and I haven't been radical for anything. I'm not standing out. Jesus didn't fit in. Jesus stood out. Family, we're not called to fit in. We're called to stand out. Maybe you've been fitting in and the salt has lost its flavor. If that's you, you're saying, Pastor, I need to rededicate. I need to get serious about God. I told myself I'd be serious in 2014, and now here I'm in. It's getting ready to be March. And Pastor, I need to get back on track. If that's you, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you. Maybe you hear you say, Pastor, I'm looking for a church home, and I love the worship. I love the word. I love the love of the people. I feel the presence of God is here. If that's you, elevate your hand. We'd love to be your family. I'd love to be your pastor. I'd love to have you as part of our family. Lord, how we thank you for this day, Lord. Lord, our prayer is that we'd be radical for you, not disrespectful, not offensive to the point where it's rude, but God, just standing for truth. Loving you and helping people to find you. So we thank you, Lord. I'm going to ask Sister Brandy to come up as she's raised her hand for membership. You're going to join us here. For- I want to welcome you to the family. I've asked some of the mothers, sisters in the church just to come and surround her as we do. Thank God that Sister Brandy, she's been hanging out with us on Wednesday nights as well, the Bible study, and God's led it on her heart to join us here at South Bay Abundant Life Church. What a blessing. Lord, we thank you for our sister Brandy, and I thank you for the women and the elders of the church, Lord, that are surrounding her, Lord. Just like you surround her, Lord, and you, your angels watch over her, Lord, and you've entrusted her to us, Lord, here at South Bay Abundant Life Church. God, as we surround her now, we promise to be good stewards, Lord, of the gifts that are in her, Lord, to help her fulfill her method and her purpose and the call of God on her life for you. What a blessing, Lord, with so many other churches and places to go. You so put it on our heart to join us, Lord. And we thank you, Lord. Thank you for her being a part of the South Bay Abundant Life Church, Lord. And as you move us forward, we thank you that she's right there with us. We pray for the gifts and the calling of her life, Lord, that they will be used, Lord, to further the gospel, Lord. And we thank you, Lord. We're looking forward to her being a part, an integral part of what you're doing here at South Bay Abundant Life Church. We welcome her with open arms. We cover her. We bless her. We're right there by her side. We surround her just like we're surrounding her now. Lord, we'll always surround her with prayer, with the word, with worship, with love, with accountability, listening, caring, leading, guiding, and directing. Oh, we thank you, Lord. What a blessing. Thank you for this day, Lord, and all that you've done. Thank you that your presence, your power, your purpose is here in the midst of us. Thank you for Brandy Marsh. Thank you for this church. We bless you, Lord. What a great day it is to be saved and to know God and to walk with him. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
If you would, stand to your feet, family. And we're going to have to go immediately out to the foyer as the other ministry's coming in. Lord, we thank you that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Family, you are dismissed. Hey, well, thank you, brother. Thank you, brother.